you wanted to read along in a few Bibles. But I want you to think about how important these words are. These are from David, King David, and how important it is to be thirsty for God. And so hear these words, these beautiful words from Psalm 63, and they go along with Psalm 42. And David is writing from a desert community, so water is life, as it is here. But let's hear these words. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh, man, aren't those words just, wow. I want you to be able to say those words as David said those words. But let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before the message today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. 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 So we have numerous animals at the parsonage. What's the last count, Nancy? Besides children, 5 kids and 3 dogs, 4 cats. And we have one cat. It's very unique. Her name is Faith. She's one of those animals that's hard to name. So she's got Faith and Sadie and Tika. And lately we've been calling her Jingles because we had a cat years ago named Jingles. But she really is called Water Cat because as soon as, if you came over to the parsonage, anybody who ever goes into the bathroom, she follows you in. And you do your thing. She tries to get in there before the door closes, jumps onto the sink because she knows eventually you're going to be turning on that faucet. She sticks her little head down like this. She gets her tongue ready. She's like, literally, she's one that reaches out with like a paw. And if you just turn that water on, there's a little trickle, and she'll just lap that for a lot. Like, I don't know if she's actually drinking. I don't know what you think, Nancy, but my thought is it's just coolness on her tongue. But she is so singularly focused on making sure she's there when the possibility of that faucet can be turned on, she's got to be ready. And this has been going on for years and years and years and years and years. So Water Cat is probably her name. But it made me think about how she is just singularly focused on this physical water that she, in her heart, her little cat heart, this is like heaven for her. And for us as people who also need to hydrate, who has to remember to hydrate? There are some people, as they get older, they lose the sensation and they get a dizziness and they're like, you know, when's the last time I drank something? But I think it's important for us to celebrate that God actually, most of the time, gives us the sensation of thirst. That when you're thirsty, it's because you need hydration, right? And without water, we're made up of like 50 to 60 to 70% water. I mean, if we don't have water, I don't know how long we can live. It's not that many days. Water is life. And here we have Isaiah, not talking about physical water, but the need to be spiritually hydrated, that's primary, actually above everything. But he knows that people in that area, and Isaiah is preaching to Israelites that are in exile in Babylon, and it's a desert community, and he's basically saying, come all who are thirsty. He's like, He's like the water hawker that sell water. In desert communities, water is sold. And even today, someone recently told me they lived in Saudi Arabia. Water in Saudi Arabia is more expensive than gasoline. And that water is like if you were dying of thirst and someone had a suitcase full of $1 million, would you rather have $1 million or like a gallon of water? You're taking that gallon of water all the time. I remember when I played football in high school, in those days, the coaches used the water as an incentive. So everybody get water. It's against the law now because some kids have died for football practice. But I remember literally feeling like I was dying of thirst, and it was nothing I could think of. And then the coach said, okay, guys, you can go get some water now. And I was like, get out of my way. This is the. And so I want you to think today, do you come to church thirsty in the spirit? Right? Come to me, all who are thirsty. You have to be thirsty for God. And how do we develop that? And that's sort of the word for us today from Isaiah. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Listen that you may live. When I preached in Africa for the first time, Mark Neal said, you know, Pastor John, some people I heard are walking 10 miles one way to hear you preach the word of God. Then I hear the average person in Rwanda and the Congo walk 4.5 miles to get to a well to fill up water to bring back home. And at the well is like the most social place. Everybody talks and gathers because this is like literally you have to wait your turn and you fill up these jerry cans that are yellow jugs. They almost look like Mazola corn oil jugs. And I remember we spent some time in this village where this family had a cow and they had to carry, I don't know, water's heavy, right? But I just thought about how people who would come to hear the word of God were even thirstier than those. They would walk even further to hear that God loves them and cares for them, that Jesus died for them, and that there's hope and that there's peace. And I want you to think of your heart and your soul like a dry old sponge, that you just need the hydration, that you're not alone. God's with you. It's powerful, isn't it? Dr. John is with us. You don't have to look behind him, but he's a renowned hand surgeon. And our son, Ethan, had a stomach problem, right? And for a number of days, and maybe a couple weeks even, he felt a pain in his stomach. And he started to worry and stress. And in a sense, he was thirsty for, like, what is it? And he started thinking of, like, the worst things that it possibly could be. And I said, let's call Dr. John. And Dr. John is so nice, he said, I'll just come over to Parsons. I'll just check in on him, sure. And he came and he was there a few minutes, enough to check Ethan out. And that's all it took for all the worries and stress of the worst case scenario, and the fears just went by. And Dr. John said, it's just a muscle, it's just muscular abdominal problem. You don't have to worry about that. It was like, I talked to Ethan after that, John. I said, think of the power of words to come into your ears to give you peace of mind, like you're going to be okay. It's like Lauren's song about don't be afraid, I'm with you. Do you need to hear that? Nobody needs to hear that. Okay. At Crossroads, you can. It's not just rhetorical. You can actually answer. TJ, do you need to hear that? You're not alone. I'm with you. And I need to be saturated, hydrated by courage, right? And by the fact that I can overcome my problems with God, all things are possible. Someone cut out the little image from our bulletins last week or 2 weeks ago that says, when I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I found that at the Bible right here at the altar. And I said a little prayer because it says right there what the prayer is all about. And so I want you to think about how important it is to partake of the water of life through God's word and through prayer. A lot of people feel dry and out in the desert and they haven't been to church in weeks. They don't read the word of God. They don't have a daily prayer life. And then they wonder why they feel dry and not connected. And so I remind you how important that is. You know that the only name brand in the Congo and Rwanda that we saw was Coke and Fanta or Fanta. They call it Fanta. And I read this week, the average American, the worst thing you can drink is soda. It is actually, if you drink soda regularly, you, and they've done a study, you actually live 5 years less than you would live. That's a lot of lives that you give up for Coke, you know? And do you know how many gallons the average American drinks soda? It's coming down. People are thinking in 38 to 45 gallons a year people drink soda. If you do the math, that's a lot of soda. And I just thought about how when you see a Coca-Cola commercial, do you want a Coke? When that's poured on that ice and you just, that bubbles up. Oh my goodness, you're thirsty right now for one, right? And I love that 1969, it's the real thing was their slogan. That goes all the way to 69, and then you can sing it with me. 1971, I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Yeah, you know it, it's in you. Harmony with apple trees and honeybees. It's the real thing. All right, you know most of it. If you drink this Coke, there'll be peace around the world. And in your heart, we know that's not true. It's not the real thing. In 2010, open happiness was the slogan. I think they still have that. But I want us to know that the good news is that we don't have to be tricked into thinking that something we partake. You ever hear the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? And it's funny because my dad loved Laurel and Hardy. Do you remember that? The comedy group. Stan Laurel had a joke. He would say, you can lead a horse to water, but a pencil must be lead. But that saying actually has been around since the 11th century, and it comes from a text called Old English Homilies. And it's the same way as people of God, we have to say we're thirsty for God to get what God has to offer. Right? If we don't think we're thirsty for love and peace and purpose, and then it just doesn't come. Relationship. We have to be thirsty, acknowledge that thirst, or we're going to try to saturate or fill that thirst with something else. If we look at the next slide, it says, God says, my people, in Jeremiah 2, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, we're trying to drink our sorrows away. We're trying to fill that God-shaped hole in our hearts with something else. We think we will meet that thirst with something else, and nothing else will do. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy, Isaiah said. And it's the same thing today. I don't know about you, but I get pulled into things as well, thinking if I have this or if I have that. I distinctly remember I was a single pastor for a number of years, and I had the worst car ever. I just was trying to save pennies, so I had old jalopies. In fact, TJ probably can remember the Hudson days, and Kim. I had the worst car that I had one car for a number of years that I could not fix the fan belt, so it would be like, here comes Pastor John. And I would have graveside services that I would dread. I'd be like, please, Lord, let this fan belt not squeal. When I pull into the cemetery and all the family's there and the hearse is there and I pull in, all right, I'm good. I'm going, good Lord. Then I bought a quality used Honda Accord. And I literally thought, I had arrived. I thought, I am now where I want to be. This feels so good. I have been dreaming about getting in a car. And of course, the joke is, what car does the disciples drive? A Honda, for they all come in one accord. You know that joke. So I have this car, and I, for the first couple days, even had that, still had that kind of new car smell. I don't know if they spray it or something, but I was just like, this is it. I cannot be happier. And what happens? How long does that last? It just goes away. And so nothing fulfills my heart more than being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing that satisfies. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If you hunger for righteousness, you're hungering for a right relationship with God. When you feel right, when you feel God loves me. God's taken away my sin. I can live now with purpose. And here it says, David writes, my soul thirsts for you. O God, you are my God. It's a statement of faith. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a land where there is no water. And so today I want you to think about how important it is to have time with God every single day, to partake. You don't just drink once a month, right? You hydrate, you thirst. Your spiritual thirst needs to be quenched every single day. I see what happens in churches, and it's beautiful that people, you know, it happens on ASP. Like last night we had this wonderful social gathering at the Knights of Columbus, and I just saw, you know, I didn't get over to see Marty last night, but I was talking with John Ziegler. And John Ziegler came up and I said, how you doing? And we're close enough that he actually will be honest and not just say, oh, I'm good, I'm blessed. He said, I'm hurting. He said it right there. He said, my mother died last week. And the first thing I said, do you know Marty Hilfiger? That's him over there with the beard. That handsome gentleman? No, I didn't say it. I said, you know, his mother died 2 weeks ago. We need to pray for him and he can pray for you. But John just needed to be hydrated by someone who could give a good word and say, you know, we believe in eternal life. We believe in the wellspring that bubbles up all the way to eternal life. And so we celebrate Marty's mom, Nyla, who was a church-going believer, loved the Lord and raised her kids to believe and her grandkids. And we believe that she's at peace with God in heaven. And through the pain, Marty can say, Lord, I thirst for your word like a deer pants for streams of water. So my soul pants for you. Grief is one of those, or you're in a desert and you can feel so lonely. I remember when I got the call that my father died and I just collapsed and instantly felt like I was in the desert. And you feel like almost stepping back and isolating. And churches say, no, when you come here, you're going to be part. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And we learn to encourage each other to get outside of ourselves and to seek out the Lord. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We come here because we want to know the thoughts of God. We want to know the ways of God. We want to know how do we experience God's presence. We get into the Word. We trust the Word. We look into each other's eyes and say, you know, you're not alone, Janet, and I love you. And she says that back to me, and I feel like I just had a nice cold glass of water. So I want us to move now to our prayer time and understand how important it is. You know, we're planning on a Serenity Sunday, right? Elliot and Karen, and Elliot shared a couple weeks ago that it was 37 years that he's been sober and active in AA. And from that time, we said we need to have a Serenity Sunday in church where we celebrate all of the anonymous groups, whatever it might be, OA, AA, NA, and bring them, invite them to come to church and share why does the anonymous groups work. There's a lot of reasons, and we can learn from them. They call the anonymous groups the hidden church. And I think, Karen, you say we want to make sure how we can bridge the folks down in the cellar from the people in the sanctuary and vice versa. And so we're planning, and I want you to pray about that because there are a number of people in our community, in our faith community, that are in the anonymous groups. We're going to call on them to come and help us have a Serenity Sunday. Amen? So we're going to move now to our prayer time, and you're free to share a thought or a prayer. We're the oasis. We have to think that there are people that are out there and they're seeking to have a place where they can partake spiritually and thirst spiritually and taste that God is real. God is with us. I like the struggle is real, but so is God. Amen. And so are there anyone that would like to lift up a word? It could be a witness, could be a testimony, could be a celebration. TJ Moses with the beard. What do you got? Please share.
Co-worker of mine, he got
Okay.